freedom to fly, another way of saying freedom to run. And so it goes with the crew of the experimental starship Voidjammer. And the clock never stops ticking. Unpaid bills, old enemies, and a rival crew nip at their heels as they strike out for the Beskarian. Friday, Saren, Relora, and Ballad know that when work comes calling, you grit your teeth and bear it. Sometimes simple folk don't live simple lives, and these former cargo haulers turned merchant smugglers will discover just how complicated their future stands to be as they enter a dangerous game. No rules, no time, no guarantee of safety. Just another day on the job, far beyond the stars.
So, last episode, I think, was a bit of a haze. Please stop me if I got any of this wrong, because I only vaguely remember it myself. I do believe that you destroyed both Hugbots in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. That were definitely functioning questionably when they challenged your right to go grab your cargo ticket. You dealt with them admirably, and Skix gave you some loot in exchange for you maybe not reporting this incident to the stewards or anyone else like his bosses that might be interested in this incident.
Some pretty nice loot at that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, as I also recall from last episode, Esk called in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to get a little extra help down to the warehouses for organization and restocking purposes, meaning that you were able to get your delivery of the cargo shifted from tomorrow afternoon to this evening. So you will be able to get out of here very soon, leaving you with, I'm going to say, about 5 hours of downtime to resupply the Voidjammer, figure out anything else you need before you leave, and to meet up with anyone on Absalom Station that you were hoping to see before taking off. I know that Saren wanted to visit Pyrrha. I believe, Ballad, you were thinking about visiting Xavius?
Yeah.
While you were here, which leaves Miss Fanny and Friday to resupply the Voidjammer, and also, might I suggest, to go shopping for some gear you might find helpful on a planet that is primarily water.
Ah.
Especially since Saren, you know, if you're looking for Shan, and Shan usually works on one of the crafts that crawls along the bottom of the sea, going underwater is highly probable on this trip.
Hooray! So,
I have, hooray, Saren's going to have such a good time. It's totally not the source of so many of your nightmares.
Heidi's excited.
As long as we're not going down in a capsule that is ran by a PlayStation controller.
Ooh, scuba gear.
Yes.
Dang, I thought we would make it through today without an ocean gate in the comments.
Not a chance. That's going to be such old news by the time this episode comes out, though. So let's try to keep that to a minimum.
I will be cutting that out. I am sick of Ocean Gate, and I will be sick of it in months.
I just don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay. So I have a little chart that came with the AP that I have shared with all of you in Roll 20. It's a screenshot of various supplies that the AP thinks might be useful. So I suggest that you take a look at those. Nice. You're probably not going to need them until next episode, so you don't have to do this shopping now. Just
okay.
You know, make sure that you've collected some of these items.
All right.
You know.
Heck yeah.
Whoop, before yep, you go
shopping.
And to that point, we probably, like, you know, make sure everyone goes through that loot sheet. We decide what to sell the shit off, and then have purchases made. So.
Okay, so admin out of the way for the game. What kind of shape are y'all in after fighting the Hugbots?
Oh, goodness. I know. The thirst notes list, I put specifically bruises. So I didn't take any hit point damage, but took stamina damage. So I'm at 18 out of 31 stamina. But because it's in hit points, I'm just picturing that as there's just like aches and pains. There's probably noticeable bruises where I got hugged. So I know as far as Miss Fanny as, you know, esque form for the time being, definitely some little bruising on the on their, oh, I guess their carapace. Their Sheerans have like an exoskeleton, I think, right?
To know more. They might have both shapes.
I was like, the shapes I inhabit, I should probably, but they're basically bruised up. They're bruised up. Maybe the antennas bent at the wrong angle, but definitely nothing internal that would need, you know, an ER visit.
Okay. So they're basically fine.
Yeah.
How's Friday doing?
Friday's doing good. He somehow, I think, came out relatively unscathed. He was kiting. He almost took down a Hugbot all on his own, just kiting it around while you guys were all dealing with the other one. And that one could not hit him for the life of him. Abby was rolling not great that day. So I was doing
great. Oh, what
a
surprise. Shocker. Oh, Abby wasn't rolling good? Oh, wow. That's so unusual for her. Well, good. I'm glad Friday's in such great shape. Good for him. How nice. Saren, are you in any shape to go on a date?
You know what? I don't need
to buff out your crystals.
Probably need to go buff out some crystals. I don't have any damage noted on my character sheet, but I don't know, because I was tracking that on like the token, and I don't know if that's something you can see. Since we are not on that tab anymore,
I cannot.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm fairly certain I took a few hits. It's been a minute, but. Yeah, probably need to go get some crystals buffed out, because I think there was some hugging and some cracking, if I remember.
You were hugged.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that was some fierce hugs.
You got a good squeeze.
Yeah,
those Hugbots do not mess around.
Yeah, so okay. Got to go get some buffing done.
Well, then that helps me order how I want to do the role-playing sessions. Since Friday and Esk are both in fine shape, you two are going to go take care of resupply, unless there's something in particular you wanted to do otherwise on the station.
Nope. This is going to be a Friday light episode.
Saren is going to take, you know, make sure she looks presentable. Ballad, are you meeting Xavius at their place of work?
Yeah.
So, Ballad, you head to, you know, the last place that you knew that Xavius had a workshop. You enter the code to the door you know. It opens. You progress a little farther and bam, new door. They have definitely been increasing security.
Unsurprising. That just makes her even more worried and frantic. So she puts in the other code she knows.
So just you're just running through all of the various, like, secret codes that Xavius has that you are aware of?
Yeah, I think they have like a series of, I imagine, sort of ciphers between them, because
heck yeah.
They've been in contact, you know, and they've had to do some sneaky maneuvering in the past, especially like, this is such a weird period of time to consider, but like way back in the beginning when it was just the two of them, androids were still largely not free in most places and in near space. So they had to have like a lot of complicated means of contacting each other without like anything being intercepted, because, you know, there were certainly periods of time where she was being monitored by certain people because they thought maybe she was part of the android liberation stuff happening, or same thing with Xavius. Like, it's been a really, like, the 300 years become really weighty when stuff like this happens. happens.
Yeah,
there's a lot has happened.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, unless Angel wants to throw a monkey wrench in there, I'm going to say that the next set of codes also works.
Mm-hmm.
There's a third security door after that. You probably also have a guess as to what the codes are there. And when you open it this time, you come out into a fairly well-appointed tech workshop. And yeah, it looks... Angel, would you like to describe anything important about the workshop or about the individual that is within? Because I think this might be Xavius's first appearance on the show as more than like a general...
Like a flashback.
We know they're out there somewhere.
Yeah.
It is a smaller tech workshop than you would imagine, as far as Xavius is a shipbuilder by previous profession and also works on small projects. So this is a little mini station that he has set up. Usually kind of spaceship tech workshops are a lot bigger, but lately he's kind of been switching over from his, you know, own personal project to kind of bankrolling it. So a lot of it is just Starship schematics, probably data pads on, you know, different designs, small component pieces that go into larger component pieces. I'm going to say on like maybe like a digital corkboard, there's, you know, it sort of looks like the sledgehammer that Ballad is working on, but it's maybe like the half view of it, like it's sliced in half with just all the tech items. Everything is very neat and organized. You know, you think of like the Android cliche of, you know, order, and he goes along with that one as far as it makes sense for him. So everything, or for them, everything is very organized, with exception of on a lot of the workstations, there's julep cups from, you know, Absalon Station's famous julep cups.
Famous.
Empty. So famous. Some of them upright, but some of them tipped over. Some of them have like rolled to the floor. And there's probably about like seven of them right now just strewn about the tech workshop at its current time. So seven. So it's probably early in the day.
I love this character of yours, Angel, so, so much.
I love that a throwaway mall that we created in a side quest for Starfinder has bled into this world.
And it's a franchise now.
It's a throwaway joke from the very first Starfinder game we ever played together.
Yeah. And here it is. God, such a so key good. Component. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she doesn't find Xavius there, she re-engages all the doors, which I think also happens automatically. So her minor pause to do that while she's like sprinting out is a waste of time, and she gets even more frustrated. she's kind of like, I want to say when she left the crew, she was kind of panicking because she and she's been in sort of a funk ever since they got to Absalom Station, because she's been thinking about the fact that they're in danger again. Mm-hmm. Because of her.
And like Deminda found you. Like, yeah. You're not like you're doing your best, but like St. John's resources are pretty vast.
Yeah. And Xavius is brave, or I don't know if I want to say brave or just stubborn. Like correct me if I'm wrong, Angel, but I imagine Xavius this whole time, like any other time they've been threatened because of Ballad stuff, they've just been very like, nah, shut up. Like, not shut up, but whatever. Right. I'll be fine.
Whatever.
I'm not leaving. I have my stuff to do.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'll remember. Catch me in 80 years. I'll be ready by then.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of vibe.
So is Ballad feeling like frustrated or frantic or both?
I think both. As soon as they got to Absalom Station, she was just very impatient, and they wanted to get all of this stuff done like as quickly as possible so they could go find Xavius and not feel guilty about, you know, leaving the crew behind. But now they're feeling a little bit guilty about not getting to Xavius fast enough. So they're sprinting to the mall, probably raising some eyebrows like, "Whoa, what's your problem? Why are you in such a hurry?" And they get there and they're going to run up to the julep cup stand because that's where they always meet if it's not at the workshop. and she's looking around for them and just kind of half-heartedly at the stand being like, "Yeah, I want a number 3 and like rubbing her forehead and looking around.
"So dear, you are looking for an Eoxian ether elixir, a great choice. May I also recommend adding a third portion of Castrovalian Cosmos Crush? You'll find the flavor blends really synchronized together."
Sure. Yeah. Whatever.
The lady's a very jubilant, big smile on their face, Rubenesque woman, probably a little bit shorter than Ballad. Big 80s red hair, you know, with a bright yellow julep cup uniform, and mixes it together with a little kind of little razzle and dazzle, very practiced, like they've done this like 1,000 times, and hands it over. And, "Well, enjoy. Also, a little known fact, Ballad, do you know what the Cosmic Codex of Common and Alien Language defines as? Hide, to put out of sight, to remain out of sight as an intransitive verb."
"Xavius, you scared the shit out of me." "Oh, I'm so glad you're okay.
Fancy seeing you here back at the station. Didn't we arrange to have you leave?"
"Yeah, well, I mean, stuff changes. There's a lot going on, Xavius. You may have noticed, actually. It seems like maybe you noticed."
"Yes, I've seen Demenda pop through the station food court. at that, you notice that their eyes kind of do... They have a little circuits go through and now glow a bit, and he's looking around, and they're looking around. You recognize this, of course, as Xavius is a technomancer as well. And, you know, this is kind of their version of their technomancy runs a little different from other folks based on, you know, the whatever original design, you know, their designer did. But this is their kind of detect invisibility. So they're just scanning. They're scanning the food court before looking back at you.
"Oh, geez.
This, you've returned rather. I didn't expect you to come back so quickly.
There's some,
you know, usually
stuff we had to
things can
take care. Oh, good.
This is probably what's happening in there. They haven't seen each other for a bit, so I think this is reflective of the conversation too. So kinda,
no, you go.
No, you go. No, you.
Usually when you hide, you do allow a good portion of time before you resurface. This is very soon.
There's some stuff we had to take care of on the station. It's urgent. Listen, speaking of, I know I've said this like a lot over the years, but I think this time, for real, you need to leave. This isn't the same. This isn't. How do I even say it? And she's just like, you can tell she's out of it. I mean, she during that last fight, she did get kind of knocked around a bit.
Oh yeah, sorry. We didn't even check in and see how Ballad's doing physically at the moment.
Oh yeah, no, she's still in her stamina, but she's down to 18 of 35 stamina.
Oh.
So, you know, and she ran through Friday's crystals right at the end there to, out of like frustration to get it over with. Because again, she was feeling this need to get here and talk to Xavius. So they're sort of like flustered and frustrated, a little bit beat up. And they're having a hard time conveying how severe the situation is compared to the past. And then so she sort of takes a breath and then starts again. Sinjin is not just some assassin anymore, okay? That was the old him. Now he has power. He has real power. I don't even know how far it extends. And I stole from him and I flipped him off virtually and I told him to go screw himself in so many words.
In those and exact words.
You know, and you know damn well that he will do anything he can to get back something that was taken from him. And at this point, all bets are off. I don't know. He may hold you hostage or do something to the barrel. I don't know. There's nothing I can do about it, but beg you to like keep yourself safe. I see that you're doing that kind of, but I really, maybe there's somewhere you could go. Maybe you could go stay with Dreg just for a while.
They'll put their hand on yours. Definitely seeing that you're distressed. They, you see at the mention of Sinjin, their eyes sort of want to start to like the eye roll, like, oh Lord, Sinjin again. This, you know, this drama will pass. This season's drama with Sinjin. It's like, oh goodness.
It's been 100 years of this.
Yeah. It's like,
oh my God, I'm so sick of hearing about your boyfriend. Yes, I know. Your ex is bad news. I get it.
But seeing that you're really distressed and it's just probably more than they've seen you in a while really be concerned about anything a longer term. So we'll put their hand on yours. I was never a fan of that individual. They've always been dangerous, which was probably some of the appeal, I imagine, but never stable, even for an organic, with power. How much power?
I don't know.
All right, let's see.
Just kind of as a brief reminder of what you have learned about Sinjin so far, just in case it's useful or you want to. Sinjin now like has his own crime family. He is a mafia boss in his own right. Like he's the king of his own little group.
Okay, yeah. In that case, Ballad will say enough to have his own family, Xavius.
Oh my, that is dangerous. With that, they'll mention to kind of go around the counter and we'll lead you to the, you know, employee break room in the back, a little small break room. All right, Ballad, you have my attention. I will honor your wishes and will leave. I do have 2 safe houses set up. They move the flesh of their arm out for their standard. They have like just a sheen, like a very reflective white kind of plastic looking shell is kind of their default body mod that they go with all the time. Enter some commands. Initiate full data purge workshop 4. And we'll puts like the flesh sheath over the arm. Are you leaving anytime soon? And are you taking precautions to stay out of sight as well? I don't want to be hearing that you're coming back to Absalom Station in 3 months after this conversation, Ballad.
No, yeah, we don't have any plans to come back soon, unless we absolutely have to. But I have good people with me, you know.
I'm sorry, my shit always comes back to bite all of us. 60.
They're nine. That, what would this long, very long life be without having you and by extension your shit in it? It definitely makes the universe better to be in with all its ups and downs. And, you know, Ballad, not everything's your fault. I don't believe you damaged St. John. That creature was damaged long before you came into the picture. Well, we've had this conversation many times. Goodness. So don't take this upon yourself.
Okay.
You know, I'm here for you.
You can say I told you so.
Well, I did tell you so many times. Hold on. I have the log. Brings up a little hollow.
I have the log. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Here's some date index. Look at this date index. See this one? This one right there. If you were so sure. Oh, they're long lived. They know what it's like. Oh, they're insightful. No. Yeah, see, right here. No. Oh, here's this other date index. Yep. No, you're right. I did tell you so. I'm logging this one in as well, Ballad. So when I see you next, I'll have this entry to fall back on.
Oh, damn straight, man. You know, next time I see you, it'll be under better circumstances. That's the plan, at least. He may be powerful, but there's one thing I've learned in all these years. It's that eventually even people with that much to lose have a lot of weaknesses. So we'll figure it out. We'll get him. We have to.
She doesn't look too sure of herself because, like I mentioned last time in the conversation with Daminda, I think St. John really does scare them at this point. They understand what it takes to achieve the success that he's achieved. So, you know, and she's seen him in action, like, slowly growing skill-wise. And back when they worked together, initially she was the one with the upper hand, but as time went on and, you know, they weren't seeing as much action, they started to realize they had been outskilled. And so the prospect of actually having to face St. John in a martial capacity is not something she's super confident about as much as she's pretending to be. So yeah, she, like, that unsteadiness is coming through.
Also, because if you're hiding really well, it should be difficult for me to find you, not impossible. If it's too easy to find you, Ballad, I will make sure you know it's very easy to find you. So if anything, it should be difficult, and just as it'll be difficult finding me. But I'll be there, and you can find me.
Oh, that's good. We have a hell of a chief engineer on my ship, so I think we'll be okay. Thank you, as always, for everything.
I think, and she's a little weepy and gives them a big hug.
They'll give you a big squeeze so you physically know that they're, you know, they have your support. But you know his personality type is like so emotional.
Oh my god, they're like, oh gosh,
oh my goodness, so emotional. But yeah, big squeeze back.
Okay, Mr. Spock.
Heck yeah,
you secretly Spock. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a great scene, you two. Well done. Hero point each.
Woo.
Thank you, Angel.
Thanks, it was fun.
And thank you, Miss Galactic Mistress, for the point.
Oh, you're welcome. No, that was lovely, and I'm glad that Ballad was able to convince Xavius like how serious the situation is.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you were going to decide there. I was like, this is a totally up to Angel decision. I mean, I'm not going
to. There was enough cues for Xavius to be like, okay, it's time to move on. Wow, okay, this is serious.
Oh, I love this show.
Me too. Okay, so Xavius is giving up Julep Cup for a while. And
no, I changed my mind.
They changed their mind.
Ballad, are you just gonna head back to the ship?
Yeah, they're still really like freaked out, like I said. So they are definitely gonna dip as soon as the conversation is done. You know, and hide, as I'm sure Xavius very well appreciates, because they're like, get out of here. You better go hide.
So, Saren, while Ballad was having this fraught conversation with their sibling, what has Saren been up to?
So, Saren probably went to the same shopping area as Friday and Relora, as Friday and Esk. And found somewhere that would do a quick polish, quick burnishing of the crystals, you know.
I'm imagining a somewhat perplexed, like, jeweler.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hi, do you have an industrial grade polisher? Like,
that I could stick a person in? Probably not, no.
But perhaps like... just like against this, you could just hold it against this. Perhaps you could just hold it against this piece of me that seems a little bit cracked right now.
Yeah. I'm unsure how that's going to work, but you know what? I'm game to try. We're going to have a fun experimental time together.
And then there's a quick montage of them trying different things, like getting a sander out and like a buffer, and you know.
Ow!
Not so hard. And gently. And then eventually we'll make your way down to was it the spire?
Mineral deposit?
Yeah, the mineral deposit, was that in the spire or I don't know.
Yeah, it's down in the spike.
The spike, that's what it was.
Yeah.
We'll make your way to the spike and the mineral deposit in particular.
Fantastic. Did you prearrange with Pyrrha to meet at this time? Are they expecting you?
Yes. I didn't think about that, but Saren absolutely would have. You know, Saren, okay. Saren would have messaged saying, hey, we're back on station today. You know, just probably for a couple days. Any chance we could meet later and set something up?
Great. So you arrive at the mineral deposit and there's a cute little handwritten sign on the door saying closed for business, except for Saren, smiley face.
Saren knocks.
Pyrrha will pull the door open, and just to remind you what they look like, they are a like 7-foot crimson shimmering, and they currently have the crystals on their head arranged into a crown, so they look very regal. They're clearly trying to put on a bit of a show for you, because they look like they have buffed their crystals since the last time you saw them as well.
Saren is sparkling. Sorry.
You don't have to knock. It is still a public place.
Oh, well, but you know, thank you. I just assumed that it was locked since it was closed for business except for me. So, well, thank you. Saren will follow in sparkling kind of happily.
Do you remember the greeting that I taught you?
Yes, that's a Heidi. That's Heidi saying yes. It was the Theron like the would palms. Yeah,
it's like it's just this. It's just this like hand clasp thing where you put like you know you kind of sandwich your hands together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I do. Saren extends your hand out to begin the greeting.
And they'll place one palm on top of yours.
And Saren sandwiches their palm.
Do the little hand sandwich. Just be like
and
it's a hand sandwich.
I feel like Saren would probably say that. It's like, oh, it's like a hand sandwich. And then, you know, we'll just be like, you know, the place is empty, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Saren will say, it is a pleasure to meet with you, Empress Desit.
We've all seen Galaxy Quest, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. There's a scene there where like somebody says something like mildly shocking to one of the aliens and they make this noise. She doesn't quite they don't do that, but and they can't go pale because they're a very red rock, but their sparkles flash in a way that you, Saren, would definitely recognize as like a sort of like shock mixed with embarrassment mixed with like just like you get the sense that it's like that was a faux pas.
Oh, sorry.
go on.
No, that I think that's just them saying sorry. I didn't. That was
no. It's fine. I know you weren't raised on Shimmerin Sara or with any of our ways. So I understand of Well, just suffice it to say that's not a common thing to say to another Shimmerin.
Oh, okay.
That's a special title that's definitely not one that would apply to me.
Okay. Saren sort of, I don't know exactly, I'm getting some images of what did I say that she did with your hair, like that it's, or your crystals, that they're like, I don't know, she gave herself a different look a few episodes ago, but I'm imagining that like the crystals at the top of your head are kind of sparkling to indicate confusion, like, uh-huh. And so why would you call me that?
Let's sit down.
Oh, okay. Saren what sits at a booth. And, or is there somewhere more comfortable than this, than the restaurant?
No, this is a private enough space. Well, I'm sure you have questions.
A few, yeah. I don't know how much you heard last time I was here, but Persephone didn't tell me much about home, so I don't know much about Shimmerin Sara.
Just to make sure I'm fully clear on what I overheard, are you referring to Persephone Meliacor?
There is just this melodic tone of the you know, Meliacor. I've never heard that name. We are Caceres by name.
Ah.
Ah? What does that mean?
Their crystals are definitely like still winking in a very similar blend of kind of like a squirmy, like you recognize the emotion being displayed as a squirmy sort of like, ah. like, I don't want to have this conversation, but also who else is going to have this conversation? Sort of.
The person who should have had it, it definitely is addicted to drugs.
Yes. It's like an adult having a birds and the bees conversation with like a preteen they're not even related to. And just like, oh God, you don't know anything, and I'm not the right person to talk to you about this, but you also don't have anyone else.
Yeah, I looked some information up on the infosphere the last time, but I couldn't really find very much about Shimmer and Sara. So,
well, that's certainly on purpose. What do you know?
What I know is that they're the ruler of Shimmer and Sara is typically referred to as the Empryx. So I kind of thought it was a funny thing that you said to me, since I'm clearly not royalty. I think that I found out that there were 7 cities on the planet.
They seem like they've decided to start somewhere stable. So they're like, yes, 7 cities. Shimmer and Sara is covered in the eternal storm, which means it's not safe to spend much time outside, but we have 7 incredible cities encased beneath domes in the earth, and we use them to harness the energy of the storm. So we have near limitless energy.
That's and what? What are the beautiful. What are the batteries like? What are the what sort of engines do they use for the to generate the fields?
I'm not going to lie. I did not pay attention to that lesson in school.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. I went
into crafting and restaurant entrepreneurship, not engineering.
Well, I mean, you're very good at it, so you know it seems like the right profession for you.
Thank you. I've definitely done my best. I'm not. Well, you know, this seems about as good a place to start as any. The Eternal Storm is growing more unstable. It's growing worse. Travel between our cities is getting less and less safe. And over the past 30 years or so, more and more of us have been leaving Shimmer and Sara for more stable climates. And we hope to be able to return one day, but I'm doing my best here with this, and trying to create as much of a community as I can for us, being flung so far from the earth that bore us.
I'm sorry you had to leave your home like that. That must have been really hard.
It was. Do you mind if I ask, do you go by Caceres?
Yes, I'm Saren Caceres. That's the only name that I've ever known.
Okay. They're literally vocalizing this.
Saren is probably under the table gripping your legs just tightly.
Did your parent explain to you what Caceres means?
No. That's just how Z introduced us everywhere we went. You know, it was Persephone Caceres and Saren Caceres. I assume it means something bad now?
Yes. In sort of the common tongue, I suppose its closest translation is exile.
Oh.
It's a name given to Shimrin who can no longer return home. We're literally created from the rock of our homeworld, and there's no other place where we can be born. And to be Caceres is to be no longer of our homeworld. And you can never go back, or you'll never be able to pass on a legacy, I suppose, in that way, is what that means.
Oh, that... Saren is no longer confused and is, in fact, dripping lights from top to bottom, is in, like, light tears. And that explains so much of why Mother was so adamant about not returning or not looking anything up about Shimrin Zara.
Oh, I wish I could just stop there, and that was the only thing that we had to talk about.
Oh, right, there's more.
I feel like they offer you sort of a small smile and just goes, yes. That would ordinarily, I think, be more than enough to be getting on with. But since you don't appear to know any other Shimrin besides your parent.
And I haven't seen Zur in 16 years.
Great. Okay. I did hear a lot of your conversation with Ballad, and I put together a few pieces. I called you Emprix Desit to see if that would register with you, but you just looked more confused, so I really hope I'm right in telling you this. But many years ago, roughly 35 years ago or so, when the storms started getting worse, a comet appeared over Caniclu, which is our capital city. Many took this to be a sign of a bad omen. And then right after that, the storms got worse, and they have gotten to the point now where it's unsafe to travel between cities, as I said, and also making it harder to create new Shimrin. It's fewer and fewer successful birthings are actually happening of late. And there were only a few. This is all rumor and conjecture and things that I've heard because I knew people who worked in the Imperial Palace. But a decision was made, oracles were consulted, and a decision was made to sacrifice Persephone Malaikor to Pharasma's Forge, to the core of the planet, essentially. As to appease whatever being was causing these storms.
Oh.
Persephone, I assume Z didn't want that and decided to leave with the help of various rebel factions. Again, I don't have any details. All I know is that there was a huge kerfuffle of sorts at the palace, and Z was gone, but not after it became fairly well known that Z had managed to create a child herself, a very rare child. I don't know, I'm sure you aren't aware, but your color is very distinctive and can really only be royalty.
Oh,
my eye color's up here. Sorry.
So that
this is a very fumbling explanation. I'm sorry.
No. This is fumbling or not, I thank you. This is more of an explanation than I have ever received. So Z left with the young Shimmerin, and I am right about that age that would line up with that, and I've never been home. Yeah, so don't know what to do with this information. Why would sacrificing Persephone save or end the storms?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
And they sort of pause, and there's an undertone of grief in their next words. A close friend of mine was one of the Empress's attendants at the time. This isn't common knowledge, actually, that this was even thought of as a possible solution. It's very lucky that you ran into me. But I...
Why?
Well, no one else...
No one
else
knows.
I don't really
know
if anyone else would have known some of the details. It's one of those things, I suppose.
I suppose. Strange that...
I suppose it's obvious at this point, but I called you Emprix Desit because that is the title for the heir to the throne, which was previously held by Persephone. And not knowing where she is, I imagine now held by you. As far as I'm aware, there have been no others. Emprix Demeter has not been able to bring forth any new heirs.
Fair. Well, what would that mean for me? Do I need to go back there? Can I go back there if I was raised Caceres?
They seem to be trying not to appear too eager, but there's a continued sort of flutter of sparkles under their crystals. They say, "Well, far be it from me to tell an Epix Desit what to do, but I think your people would very much welcome you back."
I can't go home just yet. I've never been there, and I'm already calling it home.
There's a small caveat, however.
Okay.
And of course you are. It's in the nature of all Shimmerin to long for our home planet. We're truly born from it in a way that few other species are. Can only be born from it. Another reason why I say I'm glad you ran into me first and that I heard your story first is so that I can caution you that your grandparent may still be looking for someone of their line to put in the forge.
How? Oh.
If I had to have a guess, I'd say that this is one of the reasons this is one of the reasons your parent never wanted to be found.
That makes sense. Explain so much. Even Persephone's addiction, always longing for home. I don't know whether I will go back or not, but what an interesting conversation this has turned out to be. I know that you are not an advisor, but I would hope that at the very least we can be friends, and knowing more than me about our heritage, you might have insight if I need support on something. I know that's a lot to ask. I don't.
Yes, but I'm happy to serve.
Please, no. I don't want you to serve. I've never been anything more than almost an orphan, raised on the streets, raised by cults and killers. I am uncomfortable with the idea of anyone serving me.
That's not a decision you need to make right now. But I will say there are several of us who have had to move off world who would like to meet you if you would be interested in knowing more of us.
I think I would like that. Do you want to do that right now? I was actually hoping to have some more time just to get to know you, rather than get to know myself, I suppose.
They laugh a little bit. They like, yes, I'd hoped that I was wrong, or there was something I had misread about your situation, so that we could have an easier time together. I was hoping to get to know you better as well, and I've certainly given you a lot to think about. I could still be wrong. I don't think I am.
Yeah. I wish I would like it if you were too, but I mean, if you weren't wrong, does that prevent us from being friends or anything else?
There's definitely like a blushy sort of crystal sparkle pattern now. And they say, I'm worker caste. You're royal caste.
I understand.
That's...
We're cast from different stones.
I don't understand, but I think that's a byproduct of not being raised in it.
I'm sedimentary rock. You're obsidian.
We're just too different. I do want to get to know you better, and I hope that you'll keep in touch with me. And I find you very beautiful.
Saren also blushes, sparkling.
But I think we both have a lot of thinking to do. And I hope you'll forgive my saying so, but it's hard not to think of you as a future monarch, or a future at all for our whole planet.
There's a flash for a second of irritation, anger, there for a second and gone almost before you even realize it. Like kind of the one of those moments where, did I even see what I thought I saw?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of things. I understand. I have been what other people needed me to be for a long time. So, do you want to introduce me to your friends?
I figured I've dropped enough bombs on you today.
Okay.
But I think it would be important to, I think it's important for you to know them and that you're getting information about us, not just from me. And perhaps in that situation, I might feel less responsible for you.
I understand. I'll be going off world. And
they look even more awkward as they kind of rush to explain, like, just like, which I don't mean to say that I don't want to be responsible for you. It's, I want to be on different footing with you, more equal footing, not equal. You, because you're you and I'm,
I honestly, it's important to you to acknowledge that we are different castes, but in many ways we are not on equal footing, not because I am royal and you are worker caste, but because you know many things that I do not.
Yeah, yes. I don't want to be the only holder of knowledge about our people for you.
Certainly. I can appreciate that. So I don't know when we'll be back to Absalom Station, but we're going off world to help a friend of mine, and I will let you know when we're back here so that I can meet with them.
That sounds good.
Thank you, Pyrrha. You've definitely given me a lot to think about today. And if you're fine with it, I think I'm going to go.
Well, I did make something for us to eat. If you wanted to stay. I had a whole thing planned. And I'd like it if you stayed.
I think I would, too.
Talk about things that aren't so much, but I didn't want to start knowing you on... I didn't want to begin to know you when you didn't know who you are to me first.
That... Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for all of this. I don't have much else to yes and.
they'll like bring out food and like start asking you like happy questions about like,
yeah,
like trying to lighten the mood, and we'll just go ahead and we'll fade to black on that.
I felt like I was watching a novella.
I'm over here like literally like, oh my god, I'm about to start crying because like Saren had this thing in your mind, and it's like, oh, there is a wall between us now, like, yeah. And I think that even as she stays and tries to engage, like, and tries to be happy, like, there's still a sense of distance that wasn't there before, you know?
Gosh. Yep. Probably. Lots, yeah. You know,
tense things happening.
Other person imposed distance.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not used to having dinner with, you know, a prince.
Yeah. And Saren is not used to being a prince.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I'm just a mechanic, okay?
You're literally not, so...
Yeah,
wipes or at least that's Pyrrha's face. That's Pyrrha's opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Saren literally has nothing to say any differently, right? Uh-huh. Like, it's like, yeah, I mean, the math adds up. Like,
unfortunately, the math is mathing.
Yeah,
it's too bad. And like, I don't know, like I had fun kind of playing with the idea of like, what would just sort of be general knowledge that you just don't have about,
yeah,
about what, about any of this, that like your like just sheerly about how unique your color is.
Yeah.
Dead giveaway.
I mean, yeah. I am this coloration that is so unique. Like, I haven't seen many other shimmering, but there's a reason why I've not seen any other dark blue and gold ones. Like, So, yes. No, it's very fun. I really enjoyed the scene. Just like,
me
also
too.
Like, like, oh, this kind of sucks. Like,
don't apologize, because it was very fun to listen to.
Drama bomb.
I like it when y'all now see, bomb. I get to just enjoy myself.
And now Saren just has to sit with that info, because y'all still have a job to do. You still have to go save Shan.
Yeah. Saren's not telling anyone, by the way.
Exiled royalty from another planet, and I can't do anything with that information at the moment because I've got to go to work.
And if I go back there, they might throw me into a volcano.
Throw me into a volcano.
It's a Joe versus the volcano situation.
But that's why there's been this big hole in my heart for so long. It's because I kind of want to go back there.
Yeah, that explains it. This episode title is Saren versus the volcano.
Saren yes! versus the volcano.
That's oh my god, that's perfect.
Or we name that. We name it. Name it that much later on if we ever get to Shimmering.
Does that mean Shimmerines are big on orange soda?
Yes. Obviously. Oh boy.
I love that movie. It's such a bad movie, but Joe vs. the Volcano is one of my favorite.
I haven't watched it in so long, I barely remember it.
I watch it every year. Like, that movie is personally the reason why I never wanted to work like in a heavy office job or like any kind of situation, because that the beginning of that movie just depresses me so much. Just like, oh god. Anyway,
the drudgery.
Oh. Okay. So, hero point to Heidi.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Good scene. I can't hero point myself, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would give myself 15 for every episode.
Yes.
I mean, you could give yourself 15 hero points.
I just can't use them.
Yeah. I like when as players we get to vote and be like, the GM gets a villain point. You know?
Villain point. That is great. Okay. So, in the evening, all of the cargo that you are taking to Entha is loaded up, and it's loaded up for you, courtesy of Esk's friends.
Yay!
Cool.
Does anybody remember what the cargo even is?
Nope.
Did anybody even ever ask what the cargo even was?
Nope.
What am I, the captain?
Not our business. Just we just haul it.
Assuming
that's our slogan. Not our business. We just
not our business.
Actually, what are we? Is it in the notes?
I literally don't think anybody asked.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you now, because presumably you would have asked at some point what the cargo was.
No, we literally don't care, because that's not why we're going there.
Not why we're here.
Oh, no, you know what? In previous episodes, Miss Fanny, always, because it's their previous quartermaster experience, they always check in because to see where it's optimally placed. Like, you can have this too hot, too cold. I remember that from previous episodes, so... That would be at least a conversation during the loading. This should have been like way before, but
what are y'all loading up anyway? It's replacement parts. It's just replacement machine parts. It's really boring. There's nothing cool.
It's we did ask, and I made a joke about lug nuts, precious lug nuts.
Oh, you did ask.
And I did, and self-stealing stem bolts.
That's right. I remember this now. Okay. I remember this.
I might have been in cognitive decline last recording.
But you weren't about to miss a D Space Nine reference.
Yep.
Great. Okay. So they load up the self-sealing stem bolts. It's not self-stealing. Self-stealing would be a feat.
They're like, where did it go? The cargo hold was full.
They just randomly will teleport. Like.
And you take off. The Void Jammer, you know, heads away from Absalom Station. Friday and Rallora probably having a fairly normal, you know, pre-flight checklist. You go through it, you get out of there. Ballad and Saren are burdened by terrible knowledge, but are just trying to muddle through anyway.
Also, lovely Galactus Mistress, I will reserve the right for us to have some starship upgrades, just offline discussion so we don't waste time during recording.
Absolutely, yes. If you want to, you can absolutely figure that out. I will say that you had time on out. You were not on Absalom Station that long, so I am going to limit you on time depending on what those upgrades are. You were on Absalom Station for a day. So if there's anything that could have been done in 12 hours, then sure. But anything that could have been done within 12 hours and any shopping that you did, just let me know. Let me know after we're done. You enter the Drift, and I'm going to say...
The Drift.
I'm going to say because I'm rolling for it, and that's the dice are going to say, that you are going to be en route for 3 days.
Cuckoo.
Cool. To Entha. And I think we're going to go ahead and leave it there.
Entha.
What were you saying, Heidi?
Imagine being told that you're the exiled heir to a planet and being left to sit with it with nothing to do to distract yourself for 3 whole days.
Not for 3 whole days. There are downtime activities Saren could embroil yourself in, but you know, that's
you can stand on that side of the ship with me and stare into space.
Saren has engine room depression.
Oh. Engine room depression.
I'll be fabricating a sniper rifle in the tech workshop. Maybe Ballad and Saren can help with a project.
Oh yeah, if you can find her.
Like, well,
Saren, don't you have Hugbot scrap to go through?
Yeah. Saren doesn't have the motivation to do it right now. Saren's just like, yeah, what was that?
When?
You want me to do what? So is there something wrong? I don't know.
We're in that like dip phase in the drama movie just before the heroes make a big triumphant emotional comeback.
Oh. Exactly.
Everybody hurts.
I was gonna say everybody's dealing with all their shit and Friday's over there just playing his harmonica.
Ah. Friday's sitting there playing harmonica while everyone else is going through their shit.
Gotcha.
Oh, I heard shit. It sounded like smelling shit. Veronica. It's how it sounded like to me. I was like, I'm sure that's not what it was.
That's what the song is called.
Far Beyond the Stars is a Fantastic Worlds production. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you can't get enough of us and our drama, we have plenty of fraught emotions going on our other show, the Fantastic Worlds podcast, which is a run of the Reign of Winter adventure path for Pathfinder 1E. It's fraught. It's dramatic. Baba Yaga is not there, but we're trying to find her. And you should go check that out. We also recommend connecting with our fantastic community on Discord and Reddit. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Find links to all of those things on our website, fantasticworldspod.com. If you'd like to support us, we'd really appreciate it. Please consider joining our Patreon by going to fantasticworlds.cash, where you can get access to behind-the-scenes content for all of our shows, as well as our undying gratitude for supporting our queer actual play podcasts. I'm Abby, your galactic mistress, and you can find me at Bonanza Famine on Instagram or Twitter for the time being.
I'm Heidi. Your mentally depressed space rock chief engineer, Saren Malayakor. You can find me online at Vamahillion.
Don't you love finding out you have a new name?
Yeah.
Is Saren going to start going by Malayakor?
I don't know.
We just barely installed the nameplate on the engineering door. We're like, we just installed this one.
I just had business cards made for you, Saren. You better not change your name.
Hey, I'm allowed to change my name whenever I damn well please.
They're digital business cards. So it's like, beep, 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 update.
You can find me online at Vamahillion.
This is Angel. I can be reached at Espinoza 916. Tweet me your recommendations for julep cup names. Yeah, I want to hear those names.
I need to turn that into a cocktail one of these days.
Julep cup.
You really do.
Do I go third on this one?
Usually
I do. Okay.
I'm like, you do that
so long.
It's been so long. This is Jess, your scared, upset android who's worried about their family. You can find me at Hank the Clank.
And this is Dustin Alexander, your silent protagonist for this episode. You may reach me at Dustin Alexander on the Social Media.
There was Fanny and Friday at the mall the whole time.
It was a whole mall montage with Miss Fanny and the captain.
Miss Fanny and Friday had a nice day. You're welcome.
We waited at the julep cup stand for 45 minutes. Wait, it was like, where's the clerk? Man, what a horrible service.
The machines are still running.
At some point, Friday just goes around the counter and starts serving himself.
That's so Friday.
Oh, if you enjoy our show, do us a favor. Tell friends and family who you think also might enjoy the show to give it a listen. And we'll see you next time, far beyond the stars. Pew, frickin' pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew.